Whispering Streets. And here is Hope Winslow.
Hello. Roy Wilson sat on the steps of the crumbling brownstone house and stared gloomily across a dark street that was crowded with assorted people and assorted smells. He thought, what am I doing here anyway? Why was I born on the wrong side of town, the poor side? And then somebody screamed halfway down the street. Roy jumped up instinctively and moved in the direction of the scream.
Help! Let's go over, you lug. A bit of little daylight started to you. It's all right, Marty. It's all right. He's run off like the stinking coward he is.
Thanks, Roy. The flying Boy Scout. I was coming across the area when you shot and yanked me in. You can yell your head off in this part of town. Nobody gives a hang. It's just another woman.
I didn't recognize your voice. I never heard you yell before. Now, what are you doing out at this time of night? It's almost 11.
I had to stay late at the shop.
I thought you worked at such a swell place, easy hours and all.
Xavier's is a swell place, the best dress shop in the city. The whole country, maybe, but even so, I have to work late sometimes. I'm glad to. I get time and a half when I work late, and every little bit helps.
I'll see. You're shaking, Marty. You want to go to Joe's across the street and have a cup of coffee?
Well, maybe so, but I'll pay for my own coffee.
Oh, you won't need to. I got plenty of dough.
All right, then. But it isn't as if I'm a girl. I mean, a special girl. You've known me all my life.
Oh, I have.
I ought to blow you for the coffee, for that matter, because of what you did a minute ago.
Oh, will you skip it? For crying out loud. Come on, let's go over to Joe's. Maybe I'll buy you a sandwich, too.
It could come in handy. I didn't have any supper. You're a good guy, Roy. I like you a lot.
As they walked across the street to Joe's tiny lunchroom, Roy was telling himself, sure, she likes me a lot. But the girls that buy clothes at the store where she works wouldn't give me a tumble. They climbed on the stools at Joe's lunch counter, and Joe shoved mugs of coffee across at them.
And a couple of Western sandwiches, too, Joe. You want a Western, Marty?
That's my favorite. You look cross all of a sudden, Roy. Why?
Did you ever hear of a girl named Ava Martinson?
Why, yes. She buys most of her clothes from us. Her father's a big businessman, and the sky's the limit. Sometimes Abby Blaine, she's our top designer, makes an exclusive dress for Miss Martinson.
How exclusive?
One of a kind, Roy. Miss Blaine says she'll design a wedding dress for me if I ever get married.
Don't worry about it. You'll get married.
I'm not so sure. Why did you ask about Ava Martinson?
I picked her up in the bar a while back. I took her home to her house. Big, private house opposite the park. You could look out the living room into a bunch of trees.
I've never been in a house like that.
I never had before. And I never will again, I guess.
Hmm?
Her father came in while I was making a slight pass at her.
While you were making a pass at Ava?
Yeah. Oh, I don't give a hang about her, Marty. I was just kissing her because she was uptown and it was so easy. Well, her old man came in, gave me the bum's rush. Seems I didn't belong in their alley. Oh, I hate being an also-ran, Marty. I hate it. I'm as good-looking as those guys Eva goes around with. I dance better than they do. I can talk as good as they do, if I try.
You shouldn't be envious of folks that were born better than you were, Roy, who have more than you have. I get a kick out of working with beautiful things at Xavier's, even though I have to come home to this street every evening.
You're a dope. You'll never get anywhere. You're just too complacent.
Not complacent. Satisfied.
Well, I'm going to get somewhere if I have to break in and steal. Believe me, I'm going to have money. I'm going to have a decent home and a car and everything that goes with a car.
I don't like it when you talk this way, Roy.
Well, that's because you're a crazy kid who doesn't know the score. A kid who doesn't mind being patronized. Who doesn't mind having people put her in her place. You're a stock girl. Perfectly content with being a stock girl. Here comes your sandwich, Marty. Oh, and for heaven's sakes, don't cry. I wasn't bawling you out. I was just sounding off.
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back again. But first,
when a Filipino speaks of my country, he's talking about an archipelago made up of more than 7,100 islands. However, hundreds of these islands are very small. Many are uninhabited, and some are unnamed. So, most of the people live on the 11 largest islands. Like the United States, the Republic of the Philippines has been a melting pot. The dominant racial stock is Malay, while Chinese, American, and Spanish constitute the largest alien minorities. 10 important regional languages are spoken in the country, all of them Malay in origin. One of these, Tagalog, has been designated the national language. Filipinos from different regions cannot readily understand each other's native language and usually resort to English, which is the dominant language of business, government, and school instruction. Despite this multiplicity of tongues, the Republic has achieved one of the highest literacy levels in the Far East. The Philippines became a republic in 1946, and since then they have continued to grow in stature as a democratic nation and an active member of the international community.
And now, back to our story with Hope Winslow.
Marty ate and drank, blinking back the tears. Roy wolfed his food, realized that half of his rage had been prompted by hunger. He was in a better mood as he and Marty walked back across the street to the house in which they both lived, she on the floor above his. He spoke abruptly.
Look here, Marty. Nights you have to stay late, you give me a ring at the place where I work. I'll stop by for you.
Well, I wouldn't want to bother you, Roy.
Honey, you're getting prettier and more grown up every day, and other fellas are going to be making passes at you if you don't watch out.
Even so, I wouldn't want to bother you.
Oh, most nights I'm not doing anything until later than this. Besides, it'll give me a chance to see Xavier's from the inside. I always wanted to go backstage.
Well, I don't want to jump at the chance, but I am going to work late tomorrow night, and the night after that, too, and... Well, maybe every night this week. They've been taking inventory, and I have to clean up after. And heaven knows what time I'll get out.
It doesn't matter. You just call me, I'll be Johnny on the spot.
I think you're swell, Roy. The swellest guy that ever lived. And the handsomest, too.
Will you skip it? You're a nice kid, Marty. I kind of feel like you're my sister. Well, you might as well be. I've known you all your life.
I'm glad you think I'm a nice kid, but somehow I don't feel as if you're my brother. I just can't.
They walked up the stairs of the shabby brownstone together. Roy lived on the third floor with his mother, Marty on the fourth with an aunt. He stood on the third landing until he heard Marty's door open and close, and then he went into his own flat. His mother looked up from the book she was reading. It was the Bible. Took off her glasses, polished them.
It's fine print. Sometimes it runs together. Well, I'm glad you're home, son. I worry when you're out late.
I'm not home to stay, Ma. Only for a little while, and then I got a date.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was hoping you could get to bed at a decent hour for once. Where are you going, Roy, later?
No, I don't know exactly, Ma.
Would you be alone?
No. With a couple of fellas.
I see.
We're playing cards uptown in a kind of a private club. A guy got fresh with Marty tonight, Ma. Just a few doors from here. I'd have beat him up if he hadn't run away.
Oh, dear. Marty's such a nice girl. I wish she had a good man to take care of her.
She's too young to think about men, seriously.
Oh, I was married at her age. She's not too young to think about it. Roy, do you know something? She's crazy about you, son.
Oh, shucks. She's known me too long for that.
No, she hasn't. You try to talk tough and act tough, Roy. But you're really soft as butter inside. Since you've been working 5 years now, I haven't had to lay my hand to a mop or a pail or a broom.
Burn me up the way you had to sweep out the offices of rich men who left stuff lying around. It threw ashes all over the floor and everything. You were better than they were, and yet you cleaned up after them. It wasn't fair.
Now, you're always talking about people being better than other people, Roy, and you mustn't. I didn't mind cleaning. I made enough money so you could get your education. And you're a good boy, son. More than that, you're a kind boy. And I don't blame Marty for loving you. She couldn't love a better lad, not if he was a millionaire. I wish you'd stay home tonight. We could listen to the radio.
Well, I'll stay home until you're tired, Ma, until you're ready to go to bed. Sure, I'll listen to the radio with you, if you like, for a while.
Roy went to Xavier's the next night at 9:30 to meet Marty. She took him on a tour of the place, with its soft carpets and its subdued lights and its vases of fresh flowers. She showed him some of the beautiful dresses that would be bought by girls like Ava Martinson. Her fingers touched the fine fabrics lovingly. She seemed unconscious of the fact that she was wearing a 1098 dress herself. Roy wasn't unconscious of it. He boiled over as they were leaving the shop.
Someday you'll have beautiful dresses like that, Marty. Someday a rich man will come into this shop and he'll see you and fall for you hard and fast.
I don't want to marry a rich man.
I didn't say marry.
Roy, you're awful. I want to marry a boy who's like I am. I mean, who comes from the same sort of background I come from and all. Then there'll be no walls between us.
You're nuts. Say, who was that sleek-looking guy? The one who hung around you when you were showing me the evening dresses, huh?
Oh, he's Mr. Xavier's assistant. Mr. Xavier trusts him with the cash receipts and everything.
I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw a grand piano. His hair looked as if it were made of patent leather.
I don't like him myself. Just yesterday, I was putting back some bolts of velvet, and he came up behind me and grabbed me around the waist and tried to kiss me.
That dirty rat. If I ever see him again, I'll...
It's no different than you kissing that Ava Martinson.
It's all the difference. She wanted me to kiss her. She was asking for it. But you weren't asking for it. I'll be around here tomorrow, Marty. And if that patent leather boy makes another pass, heaven help him.
Roy told his mother that night about Mr. Xavier's assistant. And his mother shook her head.
Marty's a pretty girl. She deserves more than she's got, Roy. I bet you never even noticed how she looks.
Well, not much.
She has hair so black that it's almost blue in some lights. Roy, she'd cut off the fingers of her right hand for you if it were necessary.
Oh, Ma, I've known a lot of girls, and they're all alike. If it came to a showdown, Marty'd be no different than Ava Martinson.
Ava Martinson? I don't know her. She can't be in our parish.
She isn't. You don't know her, Ma, and you never will. She lives in a big house opposite the park.
Roy met Marty and walked her home 4 nights in succession. On the 5th night, when he entered Xavier's, he didn't see her, so he seated himself in a chair in the impressive showroom and started to whistle. And all at once, Marty, with tears in her dark blue eyes, came toward him. There was a large man close behind her, Roy took one look at his feet and knew the truth.
Roy, I'm not coming home with you tonight. I've got to stay here for a while.
Hey, what is all this? Why is that Dick trailing you?
This is why, young man. There's been a robbery. Xavier called the police and reported it, and I was sent here. And his assistant said you were the only stranger who's been in the place after hours.
Oh, the patent leather boy, huh? Well, what was stolen?
The cash receipts for the week. They were in a safe back of the evening dresses. And Xavier's assistant saw you going through the evening dresses with this girl a couple of nights ago. And, well, I was all set to run you in, but the girl's made a complete confession, so...
What do you mean she's made a complete confession?
I told him that I took the money. And I did. There are so many things I wanted, and working with these beautiful dresses and all, I lost my head.
But has somebody gone crazy around here? Hey, now, look, Mr. Detective. Marty hasn't a crooked bone in her body. I've known her since she was a baby.
There comes a time in everybody's life when honesty doesn't seem to be the best policy. And the little lady here has made a confession. So, the case is closed.
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back. Here's a riddle for you to test your INQ, your Independent Nations Quotient. What's located on the equator, has a total area of only 92,000 square miles, and was once called the Gold Coast of Africa? The answer is Ghana, one of the greatest cocoa producers on Earth. Located in the southwestern part of the Great Bulge of Africa, Ghana has some exotic-sounding neighbors on its borders. There's Togo, Upper Volta, and the Ivory Coast. Ghana is both a republic and a part of the British Commonwealth. It gained its independence in July of 1961, but still has many problems to solve. The United States welcomes Ghana to the fast-growing family of newly independent nations.
Now, back to our story with Hope Winslow.
Roy Wilson glanced at Marty's face, which was so pinched and white that it had ceased to look like the face of a pretty girl. It looked almost old. His glance passed on to the face of the detective. It wasn't unsympathetic, though it was slightly grim. He spoke huskily.
Let me talk to her alone, will you?
And have her pull a getaway? Not a chance. But I'll walk to the other end of the room if you like. You two going steady?
Yes.
All right, then, but don't try to pull a fast one. I'll stand here and wait.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Marty? Marty, why did you tell a lie like that?
It wasn't a lie.
Sure it was, and you know it. Oh, Marty, come clean, will you? Why did you tell such a lie?
Because I... It wasn't a lie.
Oh. Oh, I'm such a fool. All at once I got it.
What do you mean you got it? What do you mean, Roy?
Oh, I'm remembering something I said that night we had coffee and Western sandwiches at Joe's place. I said I was going to get somewhere if I had to break in and steal. Oh, Marty, don't you hang your head that way. You thought I'd pull a nice little heist, didn't you? And you were giving me a break.
Well, I...
You don't have to say any more. Ma was right about you, kid. Oh, she sure was right. Well, I'll be darned. There's that slimy little assistant peeking at us around the corner. He started all this. And I got a hunch that he's going to finish it, too. You stay here, Marty. You stay here just for a few minutes.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to bash his brains in. If I can get far enough through the patent leather coating to reach his brains, he's going to tell the truth before I'm through with him.
Roy was across the room in a flash. He had the man with the patent leather hair by the lapels of his coat and was shaking him. The detective started forward, but he wasn't quick enough. The man with the patent leather hair went down hard. Roy was hammering him with a belligerent fist. An hour later, as he and Marty were walking home...
Bet you haven't had any supper, Marty.
Oh, there was so much excitement, I didn't think of supper. And even if I had thought of it, I wouldn't have been able to swallow anything.
Because your heart was in your throat?
Yes.
Because you're too busy thinking of me?
Mm-hmm.
You little dope. Oh, that fella suddenly cracked up fast, didn't he? Huh?
Before the detective could pull you off and he admitted that he stole the money and told where it was. And oh, Roy, you were wonderful.
Wonderful nothing. What do you say we stop at Joe's and have a cup of coffee and a Western sandwich?
I wouldn't mind.
I could use some food, too. That stinker. Trying to kiss you. You know, partly I was beating him for framing you, but partly I was beating him for being fresh. That slimy little... What right is he trying to kiss you? And that's what I'd like to know.
Roy's mother looked up from her Bible as Roy came into the room. She smiled at him dimly.
You're in early tonight, Roy.
Yes, I am.
I suppose you'll be going out later.
As soon as I get cleaned up, I'll be going out. But I won't be going far, Ma.
You won't be going far? Well, what do you mean, Roy?
One flight up isn't far.
One flight up?
Yeah, Mom. I'm going to call on Marty. You were right about her, Mom. She is a mighty pretty girl. She can give cards and space to the girls on the other side of town.
Oh, that's the way to talk, son. That sure is the way to talk. Now you're getting sense.
Now I've got sense.
Well, maybe after you and Marty have had a good talk, you can bring her downstairs and we three can listen to the radio together. Like a family. A happy family.
Sometimes beauty and happiness are closer than we realize. Sometimes we're too far-sighted to see the glowing opportunities that are across the hall or on the floor above. Xavier's was the best rush track in the city, or in the country, perhaps. And part of Xavier's success was due to one of his designers, a girl named Abby Blaine.
And now, here's Hope Winslow to tell you more about Abby Blaine.
You'll enter Xavier's shop for the second time, and you'll meet a career girl who had both brains and beauty. Until then, this is Hope Winslow saying goodbye from the Whispering Streets.
Today's program was written by Margaret E. Sangster. Featured in the cast was Kathy Lewis as Hope Winslow. Others in today's story were Ann Whitfield, Tammy Cook, Georgia Ellis, and Ken Christie. Whispering Streets was directed by Gordon T. Hughes and produced by Ted Lloyd. Your announcer is Dan Coverley. Whispering Streets has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.